I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson. And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time.
Hi, and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. Sean here, your host, with my wonderful wife, Alexandria. What's up?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Today we have a wonderful Q&A episode for you. So yes. Compiled some of your wonderful, interesting questions.
Thanks, guys, for sending those in, by the way. We look forward to those all the time. So
oh, yeah.
Some of keep bringing them in.
Some of our most enjoyable episodes, really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we compiled a bunch here for you, some of the ones we thought stood out the most. So the first one's from Dawn, and it's for Alex.
Hi, Dawn.
Alex, what do you do for fun?
I do a lot. I have a lot of fun.
Alex has fun doing just about anything.
Yeah, my life is an adventure every day. What do I do for fun? I spend time with my husband and my son, of course. We love going on walks. We do a lot of trails in the parks around our neighborhood and stuff. In the summer, we love to swim. We love to go to wineries. We love going to the wineries that have, like, the animals and the farmer's market and take Grayson with us. On my own time, I love at night to relax.
She likes to eat and cook.
I like to eat and cook, yes. Eating mostly.
More eating than cooking.
I like to take hot baths and give myself facials. Watch a show late at night. Sometimes I'll wait until Grayson and Sean are in bed and watch my shows.
She did a facial last night.
Yes. I'm looking kind of bright today, aren't I?
Oh, glowing.
Good. I know.
Super. Looks phenomenal.
Yes, thank you. And sometimes I go out with, you know, a friend. I only have a few good friends. You only need a few. Quality over quantity.
Sure.
My one friend I go out with a lot. She doesn't have kids, so that's the best part of a friend like that, is that she doesn't have a lot of scheduling and stuff like that, so it's easy to go out with her. And, yeah, that's about it, so.
Yeah, and we try to, you know, balance our lives out a little bit so that we each have some time to, you know, do some things we like to do outside of, you know, working with Grayson and, you know, stuff like that, you know. I like to fish and play golf and stuff, so I'll get out and do that sometimes. She'll go out and hang out with some of her friends, you know. You know, I haven't told her, hey, go down to the beach by yourself one day, you know, because she loves the beach, and she definitely doesn't get there enough. So maybe one day we'll be able to have a vacation house, and
it
would be great
because
Grayson would love that too. So
yeah,
he would really love that.
Yeah,
loves the water. Next question, Laura. It's from Laura. My son has food challenges as well. Do you know what causes these food challenges and what, you know, caused them for Gray? There's not one definitive reason why, you know, kids have challenges with eating.
Right.
You know, sometimes it could be, you know, just their sensory is overwhelmed by the flavors. They're very sensitive to the different tastes and flavors of different foods. So it's hard for them to get comfortable eating those foods. Sometimes it's just the routine.
Right.
You know what I mean? These kids love routines if anything's out of place. I mean, Grayson went into the bathroom to take a bath last night, and Alex had put a new decorative, I don't know what we call it, piece
wall
on the
hanging.
Wall hanging. Yeah. On the wall, and immediately he knew that wasn't normally there, so he wanted it off the wall.
Yep, that had to
because
come down.
It's not normally there. So, excuse me, food could be the same.
Yeah.
So there's no one distinct cause for it. I mean, with Grayson, I feel like he's definitely got anxiety towards the food.
Yeah.
He's got a fear of it for some reason.
It's like behavioral, but... You know, we thought that with ABA, those things would kind of fall into place with that. but they never did. So we know that he definitely needs intensive feeding therapy for that issue. So he'll be starting that soon. Already had our evaluations. So, but it can be tricky. It could be, like you said, behavioral. It could be sensory. It could be just the way that the texture looks to them and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Next on the list, we have a question from D. My grandson is on the spectrum. How can I get involved in helping him?
So I think the best way is, you know, do some research. Go onto YouTube. See if you can find some videos on there. Always respect the parents in their decisions. Keep an open mind for everything and just be a good support system. It is going to be very frustrating sometimes for those parents, and you kind of just have to... I don't mean to say, like, know your place, but, yeah, just do your research and just respect their wishes and what they want. It's a difficult thing to go to, and don't ever take anything personal. It's nothing to do with you if they don't, you know, if they need to take a break or they don't want you around for the time being. I mean, we went through that with ourselves.
Yeah.
We needed to kind of figure everything out before we were able to show other people what to do. I needed to process everything going on. And I needed that time, so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one great thing would be to get involved in the therapy for a while. You know, go and observe some of the therapy sessions and see, you know, some of the things that they're working on, some of the challenges they're having.
Yeah.
This way, like, you know, you can be supportive to, you know, your, you know, grandchild, your...
Yeah.
Your, son or daughter and their spouse and stuff like that. Give, you know, this way you can be involved in watching the child for a little while so they can get out and do some things together and stuff like that.
Right.
Because if you don't know that stuff, it's going to be really hard to make that, you know, interaction successful if you're watching them by yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, especially with Grayson, he had a lot of challenging behaviors. Mm-hmm. And like Alex said, we had to step away from, you know, my parents specifically watching him because they weren't around the therapy. They didn't know exactly what was going on and how to manage it. We were, you know, just being able to barely figure that out. So, you know, if you can get plugged in, you can kind of speed up that learning curve a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to be extremely helpful for everybody.
It is. And then when you're ready to resume that, like for us, like Sean's parents were the only ones that really helped us at that time. Like my mom did stuff here and there, you know, but she was working and stuff like that. So it was a little bit more difficult. So they were more available. But when we took that break, now that we started back up and he goes every week, it's a lot easier and we're more trusting in ourselves to leave him, and we feel more at peace with our decision like that because we know now that he is in the spot where we need him to be and we feel comfortable enough to now take a step back and let other people watch him. Let's go to our next question. Next up is Shannon. She asks, my grandson just had a dual diagnosis. He has ADHD as well. He's high functioning. They put him on meds. It bothers me. What are your thoughts on meds? Okay, so my thoughts on medications are, yes, in some situations you do need to take pharmaceuticals, medications. However, you know, I do believe in trying the natural approach first before just going into pharmaceuticals. You know, when Grayson was diagnosed, he also came back with dual diagnosis. He had some slight ADHD and severe autism that he was labeled at that time. And that was before ABA. And, you know, they had talked about a medication that would lower his adrenaline, something like, I'm getting messed up with my dog's medication right now for some reason. Risperdal. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Rimadyl. Risperdal. So at 2 years old, that is a very strong medication. And honestly, even if he was 10, 12, I would definitely try the natural route first. And a lot of these vitamins can work for autism, ADHD, focus issues, speech issues. I'm a huge, huge believer in our supernuthera and our DMG. This is not medical advice. Definitely consult your own doctor. So, yeah, I would definitely look up some research get in some support groups, look up what parents were doing for, you know, certain protocols and all natural holistic approaches.
Yeah, and I definitely wouldn't be completely against it. I think it very much depends on the situation. I mean, I don't know exactly how old the child is, but, you know, if they're a little bit older, you know, you like 8, 9 years old, something like that, you also got to take into consideration that the medication may be specifically for the ADHD and not be for related to the autism diagnosis at all. You know, so that's kind of a different, whole different animal.
Right.
You know, kids get put on medication for ADHD all the time when they're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. So, I mean, it depends on what it is and why they're prescribing it, too, I think.
And listen, guys, you know, if your child's in school and the teacher's like, well, he doesn't sit down, he doesn't focus. I do think that ADHD is a little overdiagnosed. I do think that in the school system, teachers' recommendations, whatever that may be, they are very quick to prescribe. Children are children. If your child is even 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I would be worried if they didn't want to stand up. These are children, and I do think that there are misconceptions with some things like that. I think that sometimes people, you know, just think that a child should just sit there, pay attention for 8 hours straight. No, that is not the way it works. So be careful with that. I do think it's overprescribed and very quick to make a diagnosis. And what can you really lose from trying the all-natural route? Nothing. I mean, so what? You try it for a few weeks, it doesn't work, then you go onto the medication.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is not a big deal. It might be a hard couple weeks, but you're already in that right now. So what's the difference? I mean, to go a few more weeks and then have to do medication for a lifetime, I mean, it's definitely worth a try.
Yeah. I think we're definitely, like, we're not against pharmaceutical medications and stuff like that, but we definitely think that you're better off trying, you know, more natural and holistic approaches before you go onto those meds and stuff like that. So we'll be right back after a word from our show sponsors. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company. Making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys. And now back to the show.
Next up, we have Jane. This question is for you, Sean. Sean, is there not a lot of father-specific info? How did you learn so much?
I learned, most of the stuff I learned was actually from just reading a few books. I did watch the YouTube channel Fathering Autism a lot when Grayson first got diagnosed, so that gave me some insight. But a lot of it was from reading a handful of books, specifically the
verbal behavior
approach, which we're going to be doing a book review episode on in the next couple weeks.
Go get it, guys, so you can follow along with us. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great book. And then, you know, a lot from just observing therapy. And then, you know, I learned a lot really from having to do therapy during the pandemic. Working with the BCBA, doing all that hands-on stuff. I mean, that really you know, did a lot. So there's not, yeah, there, you're right, there isn't a lot of, you know, specific stuff out there to support fathers and inform fathers on stuff, but, I mean, the information that is out there, you know, it doesn't really matter. It can be treated the same way for a mother versus a father in terms of, like, specifically the technical you know, therapy stuff and how to handle certain things and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean.
Aren't you happy I kind of took a step back and pushed you in? Look how much you've learned. See, this is how they learn. Just push them in there, take a step back for a little while, and they will do it.
Yeah, what's the best way to learn is just this.
It was.
Throw, like I hear people teaching their kids how to swim, all these old stories about, like, my father told me, actually, that his father wanted to teach him how to swim. He just picked him up when he was, like, 3 years old and threw him into the deep end of the pool.
Oh my gosh. Just,
here you go, figure it out. And you learn real quick that way, you know? Like,
yeah, so, sink or swim, sink literally. Or swim.
Exactly, exactly. Next question from Allie. Why did you choose ABA?
We were kind of at our end of the road with early intervention. It was a couple of months before we were aging out, and Grayson just pretty much all of a sudden stopped working, like what we talked about previously on other episodes. Stopped working with our EI and our O. I'm sorry, stopped working with our DI and OT. And they really couldn't help us anymore. We had the state BCBA come out for a few sessions and kind of try to develop another plan behaviorally. There was a lot of headbanging going on, and we just, there was no more controlling that. And we had to start the pairing process all over again with the EI, since he didn't want to work with them after being paired with them for 2.5 years. So we started ABA, and it helped tremendously. So that, I mean, we literally started ABA, and then right after that, we started biomedical treatment. So I think it was a combination of both of those things. You know, maybe if Grayson was on biomedical treatment and EI, maybe it would have been a little bit different. I'm sure it would have.
Yep.
But, you know, we didn't know that at the time. So we are.
I mean,
here we are.
Just from doing research and stuff like that, I mean, ABA is one of the only, I guess, truly medically proven
scientific data.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think they've done enough research on a lot of the other things to really know or have, you know, legitimate scientifically proven data on those things. But we know it works. I mean, obviously, there's different types of ABA. At certain points in time throughout, you know, Grayson's development, we wanted to use different types of ABA. You know, we liked when we figured out that you could do a lot of natural environment training. And teaching in the beginning was great for him because he had trouble sitting down and sitting there and doing trials and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when we figured that out, it was definitely like, yeah, we definitely got to do ABA.
Yeah.
Because, like, that would be great for him to start off with, and eventually we can move into the more structured. And that's exactly what we did, and it's worked out really well. So, but, you know, I would watch some videos on, you know, what ABA sessions are like, you know, so you can get comfortable and make sure it's something that you want to do with your kids.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. It's I know not, some parents that refuse to do it. They don't like it.
Totally against it.
So, I mean, it's not for everybody. You know, we're the first to admit that. So make sure you do your research. And if, you know, it doesn't feel right to you when you try it, then, you know, no harm, no foul.
You tried
just
it.
Stop doing it, you know?
Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely.
From Jana, I really like the show. Where do you get all your content?
We do all of our own content, actually.
All research ourselves.
Research, personal experience, everything. Yeah. Our own stories.
Yeah, it depends on the episode, right?
Everything, you know? That we have lived, we are passing along.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, we do some research on topics, and then we also then integrate our experience in with that research.
Yeah.
You know.
Certain things, like our episodes on protocols and symptoms and things like that, we do pull things from the internet. We want to have as much information that we can for you guys, so.
Yeah. And we also get ideas from some of our, from Kim, our BCBA, from our therapists. We get some ideas from you guys writing in questions. We've even come up with a couple episode ideas from while doing another episode.
Yeah.
I remember we were on with Sam mm-hmm. doing an episode, and we were talking about something. I'm like, oh, that would be a great idea for another episode.
Yeah, we just literally link episodes
so,
throughout, so it works out.
It seems like there'll never be a time when we run out of content. There's so many different things to talk about.
You know? I agree. And even if we don't have something to talk about, Gray's going to do something that it's going to be another topic to talk about. So it'll always be there. Okay. Next up, this one is anonymous. What is your greatest memory from Grayson? Wow. Oh my gosh. I would have to say the day, I'm going to cry. The first day I saw him complete a puzzle, the pieces that you pick up with the little peg sticking out, it was like a 5-piece puzzle. It might not even been the peg one. It might've been the animal one. But it was like 3 years after working with early intervention, trying to just get him to put the puzzle pieces on the puzzle and touch the puzzle with the pieces, not even in the right spot. And he just sat there and did the whole entire puzzle. And that was just a joy to see that the work that we did was getting us somewhere, because some days it didn't feel like it was, because we were going through so many challenges and Grayson just would never want to work. So to see him do that was just absolutely surreal. It just was all falling into place. I remember taking the video right away and sending it to our OT, Daryl, and been like, all the stuff we did is look at, it's happening. It's finally happening. Yeah. So that was a joy to watch. Definitely emotional.
Oh yeah. I remember that. I was there when he did it for the first time. And yeah. I wasn't there for all the times you worked on it.
I'm so. Like, you don't understand. Like, he's doing it. Like, I couldn't even believe it.
I think for me, it was when we first started up therapy again after some time off with COVID and everything. Grayson was struggling with identifying, tacting, you know, numbers and letters and stuff was one of the things they were working on. And they were only giving him a choice of two. So like A and D, give me A. You know, 1 and 7, give me 7. And they were having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to really get him to do that. And then I was sitting there with our therapist the one morning, and he's like, you know, just for the heck of it, let's just throw out a whole bunch of them. So he had flashcards from 1 through 100, and he just picked out like 20 random numbers and threw them all out on the table, and Grayson got every one of them right.
Yep, that was the huge turning point of what he knew. We were able to finally gauge a little bit better.
Yeah, and we were just like, holy crap, he just did that. And then the therapist is like, okay, let's try the alphabet. So he did a bunch with the alphabet flashcards. And then he's like, all right, well, he did the flashcards. Let's see if he could do like the 3D block pieces, you know, since it's a different, you know, if he can generalize it to another, you know, medium or whatever. So he did that. He got, I think he probably did, I don't know, maybe 50 tacks, and he got 1 wrong out of 50.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I was just blown away. So.
Yeah, he's literally a genius, we feel like, and not just because he's our own child, but, you know, just seeing, and I mean, even back when he was in school, if you remember, he was 2 in Montessori, and they had approached us that day. It was the day we actually went to pick him up that you were with me, and the woman was like, can he read? And we were like, no, like, we never showed him, and she had said, like, that they maybe thought he could read, and that they had previously a 3-year-old who was nonverbal on a 7th grade reading level who had autism. So, and then as time went on and we saw him like picking words out, and he would know if we said a word wrong, like if we tried to like trick him to see if he really knew it, he would get upset. So we were like, okay, he can definitely read. And now even our BCBA was like, he is 100% hyperlexic. He can read all.
Oh yeah. And as soon as we got through with the therapist, those tacks and stuff, like, I don't know, maybe like 2 weeks later, we started writing names, words, like red, blue, the writing the word for the number 1 and 4.
We wrote the therapist's our names, name down. The therapist's and names. He never saw the therapist's name written down. He would never know that, but he just must know the letters so well and how to sound them out, even though he cannot speak them. He knows what they're supposed to sound like. So, I mean, now his thing is, like, he loves reading credits. So, like, he'll pick out a name and a credit and then flip to the next screen, name of credits, and you'll have to read it. And he knows if you say the person's name wrong. They're, like, they're Polish names. They're all these different names. And he knows if they're pronounced wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
So. Yeah, so that probably was the moment for me.
Yeah. What are you guys working on in ABA right now? So right now we're doing jigsaw puzzles. We're doing tweezer grasps with like putting bees in the hive and things like that. We're doing this really cool activity that I actually got on Amazon. It's from Learning Resources and it's like big gems. There's like 7-8 gem, like rocks, I'm sorry, huge rocks. And you hammer them with the chisel. You put the chisel and hammer them and they break open and there's a little like gem inside with different shapes, like hearts, things like that. So that's really good for fine motor and things like that.
He's also working on, we're working, trying to desensitize, desensitize him to the hair trimmers right now. So we've been working on hair cutting more, kind of getting him comfortable with that a little bit more.
We do that every session.
Yeah, they're still working on like verb cards and identifying those. So that's some of the main things we're working on. We're definitely working on utilizing the PEX a lot. He's got a help PEX card now, which has really been, that's been really awesome for, you know, his progress, because now he can ask for help for certain things, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're also working on like blowing with the bubbles, and he's got a little toy plastic flute, so the therapist is working with that with him. And he's doing a really great job. So he's been making a lot of progress. You know, the new therapist has been working on some different things than our, you know, other therapist that's been with us for a long time. You know, and they all have great relationships. Grayson knows when the therapist shows up, walks right over the table, sits down, and he's like, let's do this. So, and he might get frustrated sometimes at times, but he always pushes through and gets the activity done. So, yeah. So, that's the last question we have for the episode today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
We always love these. These are some of our most enjoyable episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Just because we get to interact a little bit more with you guys and give you some of the information that you're really looking for and curious about. So where can they find us, sweetie?
You can find us on Instagram under Building the Puzzle and on Facebook. We have a group and page, Building the Puzzle and buildingthepuzzle.com.
Yeah. So we're going to be having a bunch of interviews coming up over the next 2 months. So keep an eye out for those episodes because there's some phenomenal ones. Yeah. And that's about it. So with that. For Autism, Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.